God of creation, Jesus, our Redeemer, Holy Spirit who guides and sustains us, we're thankful, grateful that you hear our prayers on this day. We know the many ways in which we failed you, Lord. We failed to do the task which you've set before us. We've chosen our own comfort over our service to you, Lord. Our fears, our doubts, they lay claim to our lives and we shrink from the opportunities that you give us. Forgive us for the many failings. Lift and restore us to your grace, Lord. Put our feet on the pathways of service, offering justice and peace to all of your people. In our attempt to care for others, we bring before you this morning or this evening the names and the situations that are either in need of your mercy, Lord, or your grace, as well as the ones who sing your praises. We know, Lord, that you can be a Lord of mystery. And we admit that sometimes we're confused by the concept of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We speak the words of three in one, but our minds are boggled and confused. You're so great. Your work is so awesome that we try to find ways to express your work and witness in our lives. From before the beginning of time, you offered love and wisdom as you created everything that is. And the person and the ministry of Jesus, you taught us more clearly about your nature and gave us ways that we should live peacefully together. And the Holy Spirit is offered as our guardian and our guide faithfully with us every day of our lives. Full and complete is your love for us, Lord, for your whole creation. So help us again to be more faithful to you. Give us opportunities to witness and to serve. Heal and restore us, for we ask these things in the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians, being that it is Trinity Sunday. This is a passage that speaks to it a little bit. This is from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated version. It's 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 13. So a short scripture today. Here's what it says. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Be restored. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. These are Paul's words to the church of Corinthians. So may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Did you notice how this passage was written? It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now, it may seem a bit strange to begin a sermon with an actual benediction, because that's what that was in Paul's writing. So often we hear this scripture as a way to end one of the many religious services that we might go to. So as much of you would probably like to hear me say at this point, because that was a benediction, and even though I'm just getting started, I'm sure you would love to hear me say, amen, let's go in peace and have a great day, and we could all just head out the door. That's unfortunately not what God has placed on my heart to share with you this morning or today in this message. You see, today is really a special day in our Christian year. It's Trinity Sunday. And to be honest, it's one of the hardest days, one of the hardest Sundays for a pastor to preach on. The Trinity has always been one of the most difficult concepts for people of faith to actually grasp. One time, one of the churches I served formerly, I was in the church one day there by myself, and this gentleman came in to the church because he wanted to get one of our small devotional books that we handed out every week. And he told me that one time He was a member of one of our former churches. And at one point, that church was actually going to pay for him to go to a seminary training so that he could become a pastor himself. He went on to tell me that it was shortly after that. He didn't go to seminary, but he grew in his faith. And it was shortly after that opportunity that he decided that he needed to join another church in town. He actually joined the Mormon church in town. And here was his reasoning. He said he joined that church because in all of his studies, he just couldn't understand the Holy Trinity. It made no sense to him. So he couldn't stay with his lack of understanding. He didn't feel comfortable staying in a Christian church that believes in the Trinity. Now, I give the guy some credit. He stood on his foundation. He stood on his beliefs. He was convicted in his beliefs, or maybe I would say in his unbelief. Either way, I give him credit. He even tried to recruit me to come join the Mormon church with him because he couldn't understand the Trinity. Here's one thing that I'll agree with him from our conversation. I'll agree with him on this. The Trinity is definitely hard to understand. And our passage this morning, though, I think is a good glimpse into the mystery of the Trinity, and it provides just a little snapshot of God, the three in one. The Trinity's not an easy. It's just not an easy doctrine to comprehend. God is one, yet God is also three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The greatest minds of the church throughout history, ever since the resurrection, ever since the ascension, and then Pentecost, all the leaders of the church have struggled to come up with this clear and concise explanation for how the Trinity actually works. St. Augustine said this about our triune God. In no other subject is error more dangerous or inquiry more laborious, nor the discovery of the truth more profitable. Maybe the benediction in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth can give us just a little bit of insight. So let me share with you just a few nuggets of understanding that I picked up from our passage this morning. When we use the language of the Trinity, we're programmed to say it normally in a specific order. You hear it all the time. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting, though, that in our passage, Paul places emphasis on Christ being first in the sequence. Here's what he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in Paul's benediction, it's Christ who comes first. Maybe this is what was important to Paul. Maybe as Christians, we place a lot of emphasis on Christ. You know, at Backroads Church, our mission is to help those who are lost find their place in God's plan of salvation. Christ is absolutely central to that mission. In all reality, our religious foundation is in the work of that Emmanuel, or Christ, or God with us. It's all in what He did. It's Jesus Christ who reveals to us the true nature of God, His Father. If we look back through the pages of the Old Testament, the God you experience there has a reputation for being both awesome and at the same time often terrifying. This is the God who can flatten the mountains, who can open the skies, who can cause floods that will cover the entire earth, and a God who shows His power through plagues and famine and even death. And when we look at the Trinity, we tend to see Christ first. After all, without Jesus Christ, God sometimes seems infinitely distant to us. He's there. We're here. And as Christians, it's way more comfortable for us to hold on to Jesus. Jesus who loves the kids. Jesus who heals the sick and understands that we're unable to follow the rules that were sent down from God Himself. And when we picture in our mind's eye God's own Son staggering down the street towards Golgotha with a cross on His back, we cannot deny that God Himself was feeling all of that same agony with Jesus. Truth is, that's agony that we deserve to feel. That's a picture that's just embedded in our minds as Christians. And as gruesome as that image is, that image is really a vision of grace. That image is a gift. We look at Jesus and we know. Don't ask us how. We just know that God so loved the world. God is the creator of goodness that surrounds us every single day of our lives. God is the author of the love that shines from those called to share in God's mission. God and Jesus are one with the Holy Spirit working through us to make that unbelievable grace known to others. The promise of God's grace, the truth we're supposed to share, is that grace is there for everyone. With the help of the Trinity, we're being empowered and sent out to let others know of that grace. Friends, I want you to understand this. Grace does not pretend. Never does it pretend that everything in life is all right. Grace shows us that it's all right for us to live because God loves us in spite of everything, even our sin. When we accept this truth, we don't become sinless, but we will want to sin less. We want to love more. I read this story, and I'd like to share it with you. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are working together all the time because they are one all the time. It was during a time of war. Two soldiers had to bury one of their friends who had just died in the battle. They went to the local Catholic priest and they asked permission to bury their friend in the cemetery. And the priest genuinely said, I'm sorry, but this man was a Protestant. He was not Catholic. And this is a cemetery only for Catholic people. If he was going to be buried, he'd have to be buried outside the fence. Them soldiers, they did just as they were told. The next day they returned to pay their final respects to their fallen comrade. And to their amazement, the grave was actually now inside the fence. And they went and they talked to the priest again and they asked him about it. And the old servant of God explained that in the night he was restless. He just couldn't sleep all night. He was thinking about it. He kept thinking that soldier outside, he was thinking about him being outside the cemetery fence. And this priest tossed and he turned and he finally got up. He went out in the middle of the night and he moved the fence. He moved the fence. That's what God, what the grace of God in Jesus Christ is like. It's like the movement of the whole, or that's what the Holy Spirit will do within us. The fence is moved through the grace of God and Jesus, with the movement of the Holy Spirit, the fence is moved to include even us. Grace is not a tool that will ever make our dreams come true. It won't cure what ails us. Grace isn't intended to bring us fame or fortune. Grace is a gift from a God who loves us enough to put on skin, to live and reveal himself through the life and the ministry of Jesus, and then be an ever-present, guiding influence in each and every person to correct us, to direct us, to encourage us. Each and every one of us who believe have access to the power of that Trinity. I'd like to close with this thought for today. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Friends, these are probably some of the greatest words in all of Scripture. Grace, love, and communion from a Trinity of their own. Historically, the church has always understood the Trinity as a triangle. But I struggle with that. I wonder if this is really the best image for the Trinity. You see, a triangle is solid. It's kind of squatty. It's fixed. I propose maybe it would be easier to understand if we thought of the Trinity not so much as a pointed triangle, but maybe think of the Trinity as a circle instead. I got a lot of weddings lined up, and at one point in the wedding service, we're going to share a blessing of those rings, those wedding rings. And we'll mention that ring is a perfect circle. It has no beginning. It has no end. And in marriage, you can enter that circle at any point. What, think about this. How many of you went to church as a kid? How many of you didn't start your active participation in a relationship with Christ until a different point in your life? There may still be some here today who are still looking for their entry point into that relationship. That is part of being in the circle of life. It is constant. We can enter whenever. Here's the thing, though. When we do find ourselves in the circle, some may find themselves relating more strongly to one person of the Trinity than the other two. Some enter the circle because of a powerful personal experience of grace being reconciled through Jesus Christ. Sin and forgiveness tend to draw us into that circle. For others, it's the love of God that woos them in. Some Christians have grown up with the image of God as a stern taskmaster. But when they discover the truth of God's limitless love, it's a kind of conversion experience, and they enter that circle. And that there's still others who see the impression of God in the life of the church community that's been formed, as we spoke of last week on Pentecost, formed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's this new quality of life within the fellowship that calls them to join the circle, calls them into a deeper faith. However we enter the circle of life, we'll be opened to the other ways of encountering God as well. And then our spiritual life will be richer because of it. Friends, the Trinity is dynamic. We don't so much really need to comprehend it as much as we should be trying to become a part of it. A Christian blessing is really powerful stuff. If the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us, our lives will never be the same. If we experience the utterly self-giving love of God, our lives will never be the same. If the communion of the Holy Spirit characterizes our common life as the church, our lives are never going to be the same. We will have become a new creation and a fully integrated part of the circle of life. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Holy and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for meeting us in this place today. Thank you for reminding us that your grace is greater than our failures. Your love is deeper than our fears, and your Spirit is still moving among your people. There are times when we struggle to fully understand the mystery of who you are. Yet even in the mystery, we see your goodness. We see it on the cross of Christ. We see it in the gift of salvation. We see it in the fellowship of believers gathered together in your name. Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, continue shaping us into people who reflect your grace. We reflect your love and your presence in the world around us. Help us to move those fences with compassion and mercy and truth. And now, Lord, we dedicate our offerings back to you this morning. We would ask that you would use them for the work of your kingdom. May they become instruments of hope for the hurting, provision for those who are really in need, a witness to the saving grace of your co-partner, your Son, Jesus Christ. Multiply these gifts, use them, and use this church as a living testimony to the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together as one. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as you leave this place today, remember that you don't walk alone. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ goes before you. The love of God surrounds you. And the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remains with you. Go now and live as people welcomed into the circle of God's life, in God's love. Move the fences of division. Share your grace as you've received. Love others as Christ has loved you. And may the blessing of the triune God, the whole God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Go now in peace. Amen.